What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. We are taking you up to 6:30 on this Tuesday. We're brought to you by the law firm Kundori & Murad.
As Washington continues to build the foundation of success on and off the field this season, it's time for you to plan for your future as well. As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Kundori & Murad can help you update your last will and testament, set up a revocable trust for you or your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Big event Friday, Caddies in Bethesda, little Friday field trip on a football Friday ahead of the NFC Championship game, for God's sake.
That's the usual stuff around here.
We'll see you out there 2 to 6:30 broadcasting live all day Friday, but you knew that. Here is what you didn't know. On the show tomorrow, right around 2:30, right after our dentist appointment.
Dentist appointment then.
Redskins legend, Joe Jackson Gibbs.
That's Joe Gibbs.
Joe Gibbs.
That's Joe Gibbs.
On the show tomorrow, right here on Grant and Danny, to discuss potentially a fourth Super Bowl coming to the nation's capital. But without further ado, that's tomorrow's business. Today's business, we're jacked up to talk to one of the guys in the media who has flown the flag for the burgundy and gold over the years, and that is Matthew Berry. He's on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. For many, many years on ESPN, I would see him repping the locals. Now on NBC, watching him on Football Night in America. And you've worn it sometimes, Matthew. You've been on the wrong side of jokes. People have pushed this team around, and you've stepped up for them. And I said, you know, we got to talk to Matthew this week. He's one of the good ones.
You've earned it, buddy.
I appreciate it. It's a lot more fun this week than it has been in the last 20 years. But yes, I am part of the faithful. Absolutely. And it seems like there's a lot of people all of a sudden on the bandwagon. People that are like, oh, I love this. I'm like, where have you been? Where have you been, you know, the last 10 years, last 5 years, you know?
So true.
So I appreciate. Don't you feel like that? I feel like there's a lot of people, and I don't mind the bandwagon. I get it. We're an easy team to root for. Jaden is easy to root for. But there's part of me that sort of feels like, you know, some of these Johnny-come-lately types where you're just like, where have you been? Like, you can't be a true fan if you didn't have to live through the Snyder era. You know what I mean? Like, which is, by the way, this is what makes all this so much sweeter, is that it happened so soon. I mean, it just goes to show you, as soon as we got rid of that guy, that, you know, good things could happen.
Yeah, I think they're the cool kid right now, and they've got the cool quarterback. So that makes them, you know, a hot commodity, and everyone's trying to claim them to an extent. So are you local? What's your background? How are you such a fan of the team over the years?
I lived in Virginia till I was 12 years old. So I grew up there, and before I moved, you know, and then I've moved around since I was 12. But from the time I was, you know, basically born until I was 12, I lived in Richmond, Virginia, and Charlottesville, Virginia. My father's a college professor, actually, and so he taught at VCU and then later at UVA. So, you know, back in the day, I mean, you know, this is how long I've been a Commanders fan. Like, I remember when Jack Pardee was the head coach. Like, that, when I was a kid, when I was a little itty-bitty kid, Jack Pardee was the head coach. And I remember, obviously, you know, I was probably 9 or 10 when Joe Gibbs was hired. And so, you know, throughout the Gibbs era, and that obviously cemented it for me. And
you know, been a Washington fan ever since.
We're fairly close in age. Matthew Grant's like 11, but you and I are I think I'm maybe a couple years behind you, but logically, I would have given it up several times. But like you, I lived through it and it was in my blood, and the joyous memories, like, you know, it's even if I pretended to quit them, I would still care. What moment where you go, you know what, if I could, I would walk away? Do you have one of those?
Oh, there's so many over the Snyder era, but you're right. Like, it's in my blood. I mean, it's in my blood I have pictures of me as a little 5-year-old running around with a Redskins helmet. I have one of my first autograph. I think the first autograph I ever got was I got a Ken Houston autograph and I got a Joe Theismann autograph. Like, I sent away to the team and I got a 5x7 card that they signed for me. That's, I was so thrilled. And so, I remember my dad taking me to, a game or two at the old RFK. So it's in my blood. It's my first love. It's the first sports team I ever fell in love with. I used to collect, football cards and everything like that. So in terms of times of when I've given up, and I've written about this, I write a column every week, originally for ESPN and, sites before ESPN. And then now I write it for NBCSports.com and Rotoworld.com. And, I've talked about my fandom many times over the years about, like, I wish I could quit them. Right. I'll tell you the one that just comes to mind, and there's so many low points. Right. But the one that comes to mind was when Bruce Allen got up there and said, "We have a damn good culture." That press conference. Right. Just infuriated me so much because there was so much that was wrong with the team and so much that I really lay at the feet of Bruce Allen, who I think is the worst general manager in professional sports history. And like his entire existence was because he was enabled by Dan Snyder and everything that's come out has sort of proven that out. But I just remember when he got up at that press conference and took no accountability and basically was like, everything's fine, right? He was the real life version of that meme that you've seen where it's the dog sitting at a table drinking coffee and there's flames all around him. And he's just like, it's fine, everything's fine. And you're like, what are you talking about? Damn good culture. What are you talking about? Any of this stuff? Like, it's awful. And I think he was the fifth losingest general manager during his tenure. There's a zillion stats that we can point to and how he botched Kirk Cousins and how he botched Trent Williams. And anyway, on and on and on. And just how bare the cupboard was, from all his terrible draft picks. And anyway,
so, that Bruce Allen presser, like, by the moment, way, Matthew was also gave us this gift.
We're winning off the field. But we got to start winning on the field.
The old, we're winning off the field. Now it's just about winning on the
so
field.
So feel better we're winning off the field because Dan gave away a turkey last Thanksgiving.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's off winning off the field. Well, you sued a grandmother, you animals. Like, I could do an hour just on, stuff that infuriated me during the Snyder era. But we're here to talk about positivity. And
that's
it just
right.
goes to show you. It just goes to show you. I mean, I don't think there's been ever a greater contrast or more perfect example of what ownership means in professional sports than what the Commanders, who were in one of the biggest markets in the NFL, and the ineptitude that they showed for over two decades under Dan Snyder. And as soon as you get a professional sports owner in Josh Harris and his ownership group, as soon as you get somebody like that in here, all of a sudden, what do you know? I mean, and you've heard Josh Harris talk about this, right? Culture, hard work, people. That's what it takes, right? It's proven itself out. It's proven itself out. It's been a magical ride, and I hope we're talking in a couple weeks about the Commanders' Super Bowl victory. But, it's been unbelievable this year because it's not some quick fix. They have built, Josh, Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, and the entire organization have built a foundation that can be built upon for years and years and years.
Matthew Berry's with us on Grant and Danny. You mentioned this overnight renaissance. So much of it revolves around Jaden Daniels. Now, you do a lot of work, obviously, in the fantasy community and pre-ranking and trying to figure out what skill position guys, quarterbacks are going to do. What was your expectation coming into the year for Daniels, and what do you make of the year he just had? Where does it come in terms of historical fantasy seasons for rookies?
It's nothing short of amazing. Like, I think I tweeted this out the other day where I said something like, I was quote tweeting somebody else that had a stat. Like, I think it was the Daniel stats, how many games he's had with zero turnovers and zero punts. And it's more than, guys like Montana and Brady and, everyone combined. And says, and I said, pick a stat, any stat, and they're all insane when you talk about Jaden Daniels. And so it is one of, if not the greatest rookie season by a quarterback in fantasy. I haven't actually looked at it from a historical perspective to really look at the points. I mean, do you call Patrick Mahomes' rookie season? Like his technical rookie season, he only played that one game against Alex Smith, but the next year when he was a full-time starter, unbelievable fantasy year. Lamar Jackson's first full year as a starter, unbelievable as well. But it's right up there. But what I'll tell you is that I had Jaden Daniels as my QB8 coming into the year. I had him on my preseason love list. I had him on the short list for my ride or die, and I desperately wish I had actually chosen him for ride or die, but I thought, everyone's going to think I'm just being a homer, you know, if I pick him as my ride or die. So I'm not going to do that. I regret that now, obviously. But, yeah, I was very bullish on him, but I didn't expect this. I would be lying if I said I expected him to, you know, have such a high completion percentage, to be as brilliant as he has been. Because I've said this on air before. What's incredible, there's so many different things that you can point to about Jaden Daniels' brilliance. But one of them is that, guys, I would argue that Jaden Daniels is playing with a worse core than he had at LSU last year. He was thrown to Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas last year in college. You know, and make no mistake, Diami Brown and Olamide Zaccheaus and Noah Brown for a while in the season, you know, they've had nice moments and they've really stepped up. And Diami Brown has been fantastic in the playoffs. But, like, you know, Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas is kind of crazy in college. You understand what I'm saying? So it's brilliant what he has done with players that at the beginning of the year, with the exception of Terry McLaurin, that the rest of the league sort of felt like, you know, there wasn't a huge market for Olamide Zaccheaus. There wasn't a huge market for Noah Brown. You know, no one was beating down Adam Peters' door saying, hey, what can we get Diami Brown for? You know, I mean, you know, and so Zach Ertz was out of football. Guys, Zach Ertz was out of football last year, and they've all been brilliant. And that's a credit to Jaden, and that's a credit to Cliff Kingsbury, and it's a credit to those gentlemen as well. They've put in the work, they've bought into the system, and they've been nothing short of terrific this year.
Matthew Berry with us here on G&D. You just kind of touched on this, Matthew, but this is the thing, like, in talking to, like, other dads at, you know, dropping my kids off at school or, you know, chatting with friends, texting otherwise, like, you just touched on a bunch of guys that, as you said, probably wouldn't be starting or getting reps or looks for 25, 26, 30 teams across the NFL, and yet here they are, 60 good minutes of football away from the Super Bowl. Like, how is this happening? You know what I mean? Like, I get Jaden Daniels is special. Kingsbury's made some nice adjustments, and that's cool. But they forced all the turnovers against the Detroit buzzsaw of an offense. Like, how is this group doing this?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great question. I think they've been schemed open. I think and I think that Jaden has raised the play of everyone around him. Credit to those guys. You know, like the completion percentage doesn't happen if guys on the other end of those passes don't come down with them. You know, you think about that long pass last week to Diami Brown with, you know, we've seen all the pictures of the guy hanging on him. He's literally like, you know, he's holding Brown's, you know, helmet, and Brown still comes down with it. So credit the guys for coming down with the balls when they're thrown to him. But I think it's a combination of all those things that, you know, Kingsbury's play calling has schemed them open, that Daniels continually makes the right read and also just throws a perfect ball, right? You know, as the saying goes, there's no defense for a perfect pass. Brady said that on the broadcast, and he's absolutely right. I mean, that's what it was. That long pass to Diami Brown, that was a perfect pass. I don't know what you can do to defend that. And so I think it's all those things, but I also think there's a level of sort of believing in yourself and believing in the team, everything. And you guys are there locally, and so you see it more than I do on a national level. But it seems like this team is insanely close off the field. That locker room is tight, and that's a credit to DQ and the foundation and the culture that he's built among the team, and everyone is bought in. And you know, Daniel seems well above his years as a leader on that team. And I just feel like it's just one of those things. Like, think about Tom Brady. Think about, you know, some of the years that, you know, yes, Brady had Randy Moss for you, but there were times where like he's out there throwing to Rashay Caldwell, but they always seem to make the play because just Brady was Brady and elevated the play of people around him. And I think that's what Jaden Daniels is doing here as well. Just people want to step up and play to the level that he's inspiring them to do.
Matthew Berry on G&D. You're on the Fan. Before we let you go, what do you think? How much of a chance do you give him against the Eagles?
I think we have a really good shot. Here's what I think. Being honest with you guys, I think we have the better quarterback, and I think we have the better coaches. I think they're probably better than us everywhere else, but that's all right. We have the better coach and we have the better quarterback. Those are the two most important things in a football field. And if you have those two things, you absolutely have a shot. You know, we're underdogs, but we were underdogs. No one gave us a chance against Detroit. No one gave us a chance against Tampa Bay. We were underdogs. And if we end up beating Philadelphia, we'll be an underdog to the Bills or the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. It's all right. We've been an underdog the whole year, whole year long. It's going to come down to turnovers, right? The way the Eagles, I actually didn't think the Eagles, you know, should have beaten the Rams or the Packers. They haven't looked that impressive. But in each game, they got a couple of turnovers against the Rams. They got a couple of turnovers against the Packers, and they ended up winning. How do we win? We got the two turnovers against Tampa Bay. We got the five against Detroit, plus the fourth and two where they had 12 men on the field, which was kind of a turnover on the line side of the ball, like brutal beat for those guys. So I think it's a cliche, but I think it's going to come down to defense. And can we get a couple of stops? Can we get some turnovers? I think the most important thing is also, how does our offensive line hold up? I'm nervous about, the Cosby injury. I hope we've got a plan for Jalen Carter. I hope we're double teaming him every single play. And so I think line play, that's the biggest issue for me, is like, how well do we hold up against their defensive line? How well does our defensive line hold up against their O-line? Because, they were just, getting these big holes for Saquon the last couple of weeks. And so can we contain Saquon? Can we win the bottom of the line? And then also, can we win the turnover battle? I think we've got a very good shot. You know what I mean? I like our chances. I feel like any time people have doubted this team, they have come through. So I like our chances.
It's fun to say. Matthew, this is awesome, man. Real treat to speak with you. Thank you.
Appreciate it, guys. Hail the Commanders. Hail victory.
Be good. There's Matthew Berry. He has been a very public fan in the media since his early days at ESPN as their main fantasy guy, and now even on Football Night in America, he is kind of the Washington representative.
Yeah, shtick aside, like, I've been reading him and following him and consuming his content forever.
Yeah.
Like, he was the first one through the breach to make fantasy a thing. Not that people weren't playing, but, like, that we would have legitimate content all the time and this thing that's ubiquitous that everyone's doing. Like, he's like, I'm going to make a living doing fantasy football. And, now everybody follows. It seems normal, but one of the pioneers, man. That's awesome. Also, that whenever called upon, by the way, that little Washington bent was in there. I love it.
It is time for a Caps Power Play.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Capitals sitting at 31-10-5, 67 points on the season, the best team in the NHL right now. They are on the road where they're 15-6-1 on the season. Game number 48 of 82 for them. They take on the Edmonton Oilers tonight. Puck drop at 9 p.m. East time. Capitals rolling of late behind Logan Thompson, who with an injury to Charlie Lindgren had taken over exclusively in the net, but Lindgren back now on the mend from his injury.
Yeah, Edmonton is really, really good, as are the Capitals, obviously, as you already referenced. But that is a team that could score, get up and down offensively, one of the most exciting teams in the NHL. So you hold them, you limit them to maybe a couple goals or less. Got a great shot at winning this one this evening.
Yeah, Alex Ovechkin continues his chase of immortality in Wayne Gretzky. Ovi, been one of the leaders in the NHL in terms of goals per game and per shift and minutes on ice, but also right now in points per game where he's got 33 through 30 contests and plus minus as well for the Capitals. He is plus 15. Best on the team, by the way, maybe not surprisingly, Alexi Protas, a plus 26.
He's been awesome this year, unheralded.
Really, really good. That's your Caps power play. So I want to come full circle here. We started the show with the terrible and tragic news that our good friend and longtime colleague Pete Medhurst had passed away, and it's still surreal even to say that into this microphone. It's terrible, and you know there wasn't a 10-minute stretch that went by on the show today where I didn't think about Pete would have just texted me. You know, a lot of time he would be listening to the show, and he'd hear something and he'd text me or let me know, oh, that player was this or reminds me of this game in this year.
Yeah, that guy actually coached this guy in college at this D2 program before he transferred. Just a wealth of information and knowledge, man.
An aficionado on all things sports. Mm-hmm. No longer with us, which is just awful. If you didn't know, and many of you probably did, but he'd been battling brain cancer for the last couple of months. And just a horrific disease and a terrible circumstance. But he battled it very gracefully and getting to talk to him a couple of times, you know, on FaceTime, like, was giving it hell and did everything that he could. And we're thinking about his family. But I wanted to play this clip of Pete discussing the first time he actually got to call a Nationals game on the radio on 106.7 The Fan. He was the longtime voice of Navy athletics. He'd called countless high school and college games in different capacities. But that was very much a huge opportunity for him. And I still remember how thrilled and just giddy he was about getting to do that, not knowing if it'd be a one-off that one time. And he turned into being the main fill-in for Charlie and Dave on the Nats radio network in the years that would follow.
The very first night, this was very surprising. At the end of the game, they brought me in the lineup card and a game ball authenticated with the sticker on it, presenting me with that, you know, for my first major league broadcast.
That's a nice touch.
And when they get on the plane, I mean, you know, I love the enthusiasm of Juan Soto watching him play the game. He gets on the bus and he's fist bumping you. And
really?
Davey Martinez in the back of the plane came by, gave me a fist bump yesterday. So, I mean, it was a great experience.
You feel like you're a part of it.
It was a great experience. And, you know, I mean, I owe it really to Charlie and Dave, because I mean, those two guys leading up to this were fantastic. I mean, they did everything they could to make this as painless and easy as possible, and it was everything I expected to be and even more. I mean, it was just so blown away by the experience and the opportunity to do it.
And that, of course, was Pete on with the Junkies after that first call, which he crushed. And obviously got more opportunities thereafter.
But isn't that neat? You could just hear the childlike enthusiasm there, where it's like, I'm doing this major big league thing. You know what I mean? Like a culmination of all the work and all the hours, honing the craft and knowing everything inside and out, and to get recognized for it. It's like basically it's like his version of making the major leagues. You know what I mean? That's what it was. And just the pride in everything that he did came out right there in that clip.
For the first several years of our 11 so far, 10 plus, as a show, Pete was an update anchor on The Fan, and he filled in and did shows nights, weekends, kind of filling in during the day for various shows as well. But he was always around where we were, at the facility here, the studio, the update spot. I could, you know, throw a baseball and hit it if I could throw it through some walls right here, and I'm looking through a window right where he sat all the time. And I bring this up to say, because of that, he would occasionally be part of the show. Something would be happening, and Pete would come in, we'd have him on. But I think the thing that he'll be most synonymous for on our show, and certainly what I will always remember his contribution being above anything else, was in the early years of our show, we did a bit called the Guy Tucky Derby every year before the Kentucky Derby. And we would name horses after ridiculous things that would happen on the show, either nicknames that we gave each other or little slogans or any kind of shtick that became real part of the fabric of the program.
Right. So, like, you know, winning off the field around turn three and the big fat act thing or whatever, like the junkie style. But whatever it was going on, he would incorporate that. It was amazing.
But what was just absolutely awesome about it was that Pete, who is just a professional level broadcaster at everything he does, we kind of gave him this assignment. We threw it at him. We're like, hey, we got these funny horses' names. Mm-hmm. All I did was slid across a piece of paper with eight horse names on it. Like, would you call a fake race and pretend like they're racing and we're going to edit together some sound and make it sound good on the radio? And he was psyched. Like, he was so excited to do it.
He crushed it.
But then he called it like it was the real derby. I mean, he made the segment, which was one of our really popular early segments as a show. Like, he made the whole thing.
I cared so much more about it than the actual horse race.
Yeah. It was his talent. So we thought tonight we would leave you with a couple of our early Guy Tucky derbies with the great Pete Medhurst on the call. All right, Pete, crack the mic. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our Grant and Danny first annual pre-Kentucky Derby, guys.
Here they come for the first annual Guy Tucky Derby. Number one is Oh I'm Sure, owned by the prestigious GHP Stables of Colonial Beach, Virginia. Two, Just a Guy, owned by Serbian comedian Sergey Ruye. Three is Goat Hummus, owned by the AJ and Steph Stables. Four is Alex Len, owned by the I Answer the Phone Incorporated with Brendan Darr. Number five is Slacks, I Sign Your Paycheck Stable with Chris Kynard. Number six is Miley Bieber, owned by I Love to Wake Up Early Every Morning, Eric Bickle. And rounding out the field is Wrestling and Guns, owned by the Chad Dukes versus the World Stable. It is a field of seven going into the gate now for the first annual 106.7 The Fan Guy Tucky Derby. They're all in line. And away they go. They're off and running in the first annual Guy Tucky Derby. Oh, I'm Sure breaks alertly from the inside. Goat Hummus along the rails second. Just a Guy now to take a tuck in third. Alex Len takes a look on the outside fourth. Slacks and Wrestling and Guns in the battle for fifth with Miley Bieber taking up the best view. Can see them all. It's Oh, I'm Sure. Goat Hummus out in the middle of the racetrack pressing the pace with Just a Guy down at the rail third. Alex Len on the inside fourth. Slacks is fifth with Wrestling and Guns sixth, and Miley and Bieber can see them all. Oh, I'm Sure heading into the turn with a length and a half to the good. Goat Hummus on the outside now starting to melt in the middle of the racetrack. Just a Guy starting to loom boldly now in third. Alex Len is fourth. Wrestling and Guns with Slacks and Miley and Bieber as they come to the top of the stretch. Oh, I'm Sure under confident handling here. Goat Hummus is backing out of it. Just a Guy appears to be the next contender. Alex Len with Wrestling and Guns, Slacks and Miley and Bieber can see them all. Less than a furlong to go. Oh, I'm Sure. Goat Hummus and Just a Guy with a late run from Wrestling and Guns. It's Just a Guy to upset him on the far outside. Just a Guy to win the first annual Guy Tucky Derby. 150-2.
Yeah!
150-2!
Yeah!
Oh, I'm Sure.
That was exhilarating.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.